News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 28th of November, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you all kinds of interesting stuff, news, views, stuff you can use.
Stuff you can't use.
As soon as we get the computers up and running and everything works, and we'll start with the news, and we'll start with Dave.
Okay, let's see here.
He's at least got printouts.
Yeah, I got a few things here. Okay, well, Microsoft is getting very worried. AOL has now said how they're going to endorse Firefox.
Well, they own Netscape. Hello.
Well, we've been touting it more and more to telling folks to switch from Internet Explorer, which has a lot of major flaws in it, and go to Firefox or Netscape 7.2. It's more or less all the same thing.
Depends if you want an integrated mail, web, news, or you like separate programs.
Right. Netscape has it built into it, the email and the browser, whereas Firefox has a separate product for email. So they give you some options there. The big key thing, though, is to get away from Internet Explorer and Outlook Express because, hello, that's how most of the flaws are exploited. Case in point, Bofra, which is a worm that just is spreading by banners. In other words, you can just go to a simple website, click on a banner, which a lot of folks do, and this particular little worm exploits some of the holes that are in Internet Explorer, and it winds up infecting your machine. Oh, what does it do? It takes total control of it. So it can sit there and grab information, use your machine to send out other stuff, so you could get blamed there. Just, again, another case in point to, do away with Internet Explorer and go to something that's a little more secure and less apt to get viruses. CIA.
Uh-oh.
Is now getting
the Culinary Institute of America?
Yeah, that would be it.
Right. Is quietly funding research to kind of do surveillance on chat rooms. Boy, and with some of these kids, that's got to be about as exciting as watching paint dry.
Yeah.
Hi. And they go back. Hi. Meanwhile, the kids are on the chat room and on the phone. I still don't understand that one. I guess that's
multitasking. They're chatting with four or five friends and talking to three or four others.
No, it's usually the same. I've seen it where the kid is talking on the phone to the same kid they're chatting in the instant message room with.
Yeah.
Hello? it's like, get a life, kid. Go outside, play. Do something else. They're also...
head out to the big blue room for a change.
Exactly. They're also saying that, we tout each week, for folks to run Dance the Tango, to run both SpyBot and Adware weekly. By no means, they're two good utilities to...
Weekly at a minimum.
Yeah. To get rid of spyware in your machine. But let it be said, there is no sure way to totally eliminate everything. The minute you get one problem solved, they're always going to turn around and find a way around that one and then try to block that out, and then they find another way around it. So there's a lot of tools out there, but they say in the study that a lot of the spyware is still getting through. In fact, over 25% of it. So all you can do is your due diligence, run the programs that we recommend, and it'll get rid of quite a bit of it.
And with hundreds of millions of computers visiting billions of websites, 25% is still a huge number.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really
is.
And,
it's become a daily concern that you literally, if you're on it a lot, you've got to run those programs a lot. Because, in fact, I had one client say, well, I think my son's been going to all these sites. He said, get all this stuff. I said, well, do you use the computer? Yeah. Well, I could blame you. Well, I don't go there. It doesn't matter.
It's not always the unsavory sites.
Right.
Right.
I mean, you can go to some sites and forget it. I mean, I had one friend in Webster. He was trying to show his daughter this one newspaper in Turkey.
Yep.
And he's been going to this site for years. He clicked on an article to show his granddaughter because the family was in the newspaper. And he clicks on it. Bam, 25 porn sites show up. He tries to click one closed, 25 more open up. He had to pull the plug on the thing so his granddaughter wouldn't see all this porn. He goes, and I didn't go anywhere else. No, the site got attacked and wound up taking over his machine. And literally, it took me a while to clean out all that spyware. And it's just become a daily thing. Like I tell folks, anybody that comes into our shop, there's not a computer that leaves our shop that doesn't wind up getting SpyBot and Adware run on it. And also make sure that their antivirus software has been updated and run.
And I've been loading Mozilla, too. And most of the time, you have to tell people that they are using Internet Explorer. They just click a window and open a website. Yeah, they don't know it.
Well, for most folks, you know, Bill Gates made it easy that all they have to do is click on that blue E, which is already on the desktop there, or, you know, their default browser. And they get worried that, you know, if I insist, well, I might break the machine. Because he's got that illusion that, you know, oh, it can't be uninstalled. So a lot of folks think, well, then I can't install anything else. Right. Well, that's a misconception. You can have multiple browsers.
Simultaneously.
Assuming you have enough memory, you can run them all at the same time.
No problem. Run them. And,
which is pretty much what simultaneously means. Thank you.
Whoa. High tech, folks. But, you know, definitely get away from IE. Because Gates said nothing new is going to come out with Internet Explorer until the next version of Windows, isn't until 2006, maybe.
At least they put the pop-up blocker in SP2.
Right, which is about it. But yeah, Microsoft says they're working on something new, though, so you should just not load anybody else's browser and wait for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's easy for people to just use what's in front of them, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. It's just easier to use.
They
I understand
don't know there's
that.
Anything else.
Yep.
Right.
And
right.
That's what we're trying to do, is inform you of choices.
Informing you of your choices for 15 years. Sound bites. And now we're going to go to Steve.
Well, we had an interesting story come out of Philadelphia this week in the general computing trend. The city of Philadelphia is trying to roll out citywide broadband services through Wi-Fi, so that wherever you are in the city, you can get on the internet.
So, in addition to being the city of brotherly love, there'll be the city of broadband love.
Broadband love, yes. Unfortunately, there's a bill running through the Pennsylvania House to limit and prohibit the government from creating broadband.
Because somebody's not making money.
Right. And so that if the government does it, then it might stop other people from doing it, and they don't want to worry about competition like that. But it's an interesting proposal that the government is trying to do something that someone else's bill is going to be trying to stop. And
right. Government's trying to do something nice for us, and somebody's trying to stop them.
Right.
Hello.
And they're saying that it's a $7 to $10 million project intended to encourage economic growth by giving poor residents access to the internet. If you can get it from the government, you don't need to pay the $20 a month yourself. $20 to $40 a month for broadband.
I think it's a great idea, and I think we should do it in Rochester,
especially as high tech a town as Rochester is.
Exactly.
It's interesting that it isn't here. One of the issues you have with the Wi-Fi standards is the range. Right now, it's 150 feet from the base station. Someone needs to come up with a better spread spectrum broadcast Wi-Fi where you don't need to have so many base stations around.
Well, yes, and that's the problem. Well, we'll talk about that after the news. We're going to take... No, after the commercials. It's Sunday morning. I've had 4 days of sleeping till 11:30, and look how early I'm up. I'm awake. I've been doing things. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Whams. Now back to Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites, a very interesting item in the news for Apple this week, Steve.
Two high-level executives left Apple this week. Tim Butcher, who until recently was Apple's Macintosh hardware engineering manager. And
Butcher, and he got cut?
Yeah, Butcher got cut, yep.
Boom, boom. Thank you. He'll be here all week. Try the veal.
And Mark Wilhelm, who served as vice president of Apple Care, which is Apple's service division for repairs and tech support. There's a lot of rumors about restructuring of Apple Care. Costs of providing warranty service are increasing. Apple, unfortunately, was one of the last companies unfortunately, they had to do it, starting to charge for tech support. If you don't buy the AppleCare extended warranty, they charge for tech support, even within the 1 year of hardware warranty. You only get 90 days of phone support. And it's another business model that they have to pay their tech engineers to answer the phones, and so it's something that has to be paid for somewhere as hardware prices keep dropping down. One of the interesting things is that Mr. Butcher, who ran the hardware engineering design, had a triple-digit boost in server sales. Apple's Xserve a 1U server sales rose 119% over last quarter. And a lot of that was because of the superclusters that are being put together. The Navy put one together. Virginia Tech replaced their PowerMac cluster with an Xserve cluster. So at the price-performance ratio in the entry-level server market, you can get a high-end server for only $15,000 with 3 terabytes of storage in a hardware RAID. And that's actually really cheap in the server market. And one of the big things that came out about the Virginia Tech cluster is it only cost them $5 million. And everyone didn't believe it was possible because, you know, a typical supercluster is $100 million.
Right.
And they got number 3 in the world for only $5 million. So it's going to be interesting to see how Apple restructures. Both of the departures are coming as Apple's stock has risen to 4-year highs. Several industry analysts are speculating that the stock might rise to over $100 per share. So everyone who bought it at 10 are really happy.
Yeah, right.
So it's interesting to see what's going to go on. And one of the other rumor type things that have come out is when Apple was when Steve Jobs was introducing the U2 iPod, he was showing off what people are anticipating as the next version of Keynote, Apple's presentation program that competes with PowerPoint. The slideshow that he was using had features that Keynote doesn't have in it: new transitions, new builds, and neat things like that. And one of the things when they came out with Keynote to begin with is Jobs said that he was the beta tester for several years because he wants this really cool presentation program. So there was a couple of guys on the internet were looking at the presentation, you know, frame by frame and slide by slide, and seeing, oh, there's a starburst radial wipe, while Keynote doesn't have that now. Oh, well, that's, you know, so
yeah, right,
new features
right,
in version
right.
2. So it's interesting to have a sort of a public beta test.
Yeah, right. All right, for those of you who are interested in playing Half-Life 2, you've probably already been playing it for a while. It's that hotly anticipated shooting game. It was released, last week?
Mm-hmm. And it's a big match between Half-Life 2 and Halo 2.
Right. But Half-Life 2, hundreds of people are reporting in the user forums that they feel queasy and develop a bad headache after playing the game. However, as far as these people are concerned, that's a good thing because it proves how good the graphics are in the game.
Immersive graphics.
Right. So they're saying there's all kinds of theories of how to beat the problem. Dramamine. Take Dramamine half an hour before playing the game. Adjust your monitor settings to avoid conflicts with overhead lights. Great.
And they also were reporting that with Halo 2, one of the big things is online play against other real people.
Right.
And people are reporting that if you've modded your Xbox, added a bigger hard drive, put a better video card in it, Halo 2 will break your Xbox Live and you can no longer go online and play.
At all. You can't play anything.
For any game, right. Because Microsoft contends it's a violation of the user license to mod your Xbox.
Right. For those of you with a less than legal copy of Windows XP, Microsoft users in the UK, so far it's just there, will be able to replace their pirated versions With real copies. Microsoft is doing that. It's a pilot program that will verify whether your software is legitimate and replace fake versions with the real thing. It was launched last Wednesday in the UK and is aimed at tracking down counterfeit versions of Windows XP that come pre-installed on new PCs sold by systems integrators. They're hoping to get information. Microsoft is hoping to get information on the counterfeiters and their techniques by giving away the free version. So they're offering to replace it for free. It says here, with certain terms and conditions, such as proof of purchase. If I were you, I'd want to read those terms and conditions very carefully.
It's probably a lot of people don't realize they may have an illegal version if you buy it from a less than reputable dealer. What sounds like a really good deal, maybe because they're pirating the software. Yep. Yeah, we've said that for years. You buy a new computer that comes with a whole bundle of software. If you don't get the disks for it, it's likely illegal.
Exactly. We're going to take another break, but when we come back, we will finish up the news and we will get to your phone calls on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
And OnStar America's longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We're going to get to the phones in just a minute, but we do have some more interesting news. In the UK again, the Department of Works and Pensions was upgrading 80,000 desktops. They all crashed.
No 80, one, like that contract.
And no one could get paid.
Desktops, exactly. EDS and, here's a shock, Microsoft were the companies involved in this. The theory is it's up around now. It should be back up by now, but 80,000 desktops crashed. I would not want to be their system administrator.
Well, a few months ago, the...
Job security.
A few months ago, the LAX terminal control tower crashed and left stranded several thousand planes with tens of thousands of people in the air. Apparently, the contractor had quoted Unix boxes to run the air traffic control, but someone else decided to use cheap Windows machines.
Right, and there you have it.
Yeah.
For those of you who are using Windows 2000, there will be no Service Pack 5. Instead, Microsoft is going to put out a Windows 2000 update roll-up. It will be the last security patch for Windows 2000. I'm not quite sure when that's going to come. It's got to be sometime before June because that's when support for Windows 2000 expires. Linux server sales have hit a new high. For the first time, sales topped $1 billion in a quarter. So that's kind of nice. If you're using Winamp, you need to update immediately. The old versions are quite susceptible to hack that hides, that pretends to be a playlist that you would like download from the net or whatever. The Lycos is coming out with a screensaver that will blitz spam servers. It's not a denial of service attack because it's going to check them, and if they start slowing down, it'll stop. But the idea is to make them pay more for their bandwidth, so we're not entirely certain if that's legal or not.
I would call
legal.
That restraint of trade.
Yeah.
I would, too, but that's just me.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Jim from Webster, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Oh, guys, thanks. Before I get into it, that Philadelphia Live Wire thing, they're trying to do that in Canandaigua.
They are. They're going to do all of Main Street.
Yeah, that ought to be cool as well.
Unless somebody, of course, takes them to court.
Yeah. Right. Listen, I got a situation here that's killing me, and basically, I got a Pentium 3 533 running Windows XP, lots of RAM. It was an upgrade over ME, and slowly but surely, it's deteriorated to the point now where I can't get to the logon screen. And I've been around the block. I've got a laptop to refer to. Been through the BIOS, and I think I have every question you can ask me an answer for. I just don't know how I can get back to this login screen.
Did you dance the tango?
Oh, religiously.
Okay. What happens? In other words, it doesn't ever get to the login screen?
I turn the computer on, and it goes through the boot up process, cold or hot, or cold or warm.
Mm-hmm.
Gets to the Windows XP logo, the little green razor across there. I get the blue screen that was my desktop, the arrow, cursor in the middle, and that's it. I try it in safe mode. I boot up in safe mode. I get all the way to the safe mode to the point where it says safe mode across the top of the screen, safe mode in the corners, but the screen's black.
If you log on as a different user, what happens?
I can never get to the log-on screen.
All right, then what I would suggest, Jim, is you've got your original CD that you installed XP with?
I had.
All right, boot up with that.
I did.
And you tell it to do an install.
I did.
You accept the first one.
I did.
And then you go to the second time and you do a repair.
Yeah.
And you do a repair on it.
Tried it. I've gone so far as to create a new boot sector, all right, on the existing hard drive. I can never get... When I go through the install with the original CD, it copies all the files, does its thing, asks me all the questions and everything. It's ready to install. It gets to the point where it has to reboot. It reboots, and then I'm back where I was before. It gets no login, and I'm back frozen again.
All right, then here's what you're going to have to do.
I'm afraid of what you're going to say.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's not going to be nice. In the fact that you're going to have to, one, if you can, pull that hard drive out.
Yeah, which is not a problem.
And put it in another machine.
Okay.
Copy all your documents.
And reformat it.
And reformat that drive and start
from. Well, now, here's an interesting situation. I have a slave drive.
For copy it to only, that. Copy your documents, if you can, to that drive. But it's
Well, you can't in that machine because you can't boot
up. Right, that's why it'd be better to pull that machine out.
Put it in another
Or switch
computer.
The drives. If you got another drive with not much on it, switch the drives.
Yeah, try loading a quick XP install on that second drive.
And use that as the boot drive. Leave your master as the slave. That way your documents and all that stuff will still be there.
And then you can get the documents off and erase and reinstall it on the main drive.
Okay.
Give that a try and let us know what happens. Our next caller is Kurt on a cell phone. Welcome, Kurt. What's your question?
My question for you is, I downloaded XP Service Pack 2, did all that. Like 2 weeks ago, I was using Internet Explorer. I clicked on a link on a web page, and the a new web page pops up.
Yeah.
Blank. Nothing happens. And the little flag is going in the corner, but you can leave it up for an hour, and nothing comes up on that web page. I've run all the spyware stuff. I've run antivirus. Can't figure out what's wrong.
Well, it sounds like whatever page you clicked on had a JavaScript that it wanted to run that has killed something somewhere. So I think what you need to do is to, in your Internet Explorer, clear out your cache.
Okay.
Clear it out completely. Clear out everything.
Temporary Internet files.
And, oh, by the way, this would be a really good time to stop using Internet Explorer and go to something like Firefox, which is going to have a lot less trouble with all the junk that's out there on the Internet.
And that's actually a good test, too. Try a different browser.
Yeah.
See if the same thing happens. If it does, then it's a lower-level problem in the IP stack. If another browser works fine, then you know the problem is in that first browser.
Right.
Well, I went actually on your webpage, and I saw the whole list of the browsers. There's the poll.
Mm-hmm.
I downloaded. I don't remember which one I downloaded. But then I wanted to, like, remove Internet Explorer because it was really
kicking
me up. And it wouldn't let me.
Right. You can't. It's built into the operating system. God forbid you should be able to pick your own browser. So you can't get rid of it. You can just stop using it.
And you can go into the Internet Control Panel and change your default browser to the new browser and the default email to your new email program. But you can't actually remove Internet Explorer.
Right. Try that, and that should help you out. We have to take another break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
PCs to Macs. These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this, indeed, is Soundbites. We're on the phone and we're talking to Phil and Arondequoit. Welcome, Phil. What's your question?
Hi, fellas. This seems to be a run on questions about Internet Explorer and so forth. And believe it or not, during the break, I just followed your advice and solved my problem.
See?
Cleared those temporary Internet files and my problems went away.
Cool.
Excellent. That's what we love to do, is to help people before we even know they need help.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. But let me reiterate to you that you may find fewer problems in your browsing experience if you use Firefox. You'll have less need to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
So give that a shot. But thanks, Phil.
Point well taken. Thank you, guys.
Sure. We're glad to help you before you needed help. That's our job. Faster than the speed of light.
Fixing it even while we're on break.
That's right. Some people fix it in real time. We fix it in surreal time.
Ludicrous time now.
They've got the plan.
When you're good, you're what?
When you're good, you're good. When you're great, you're us. We're fixing your problems in surreal time on Soundbites. Next caller is Dave from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Good morning, gentlemen. I've got an old PC that I'm thinking about doing a complete upgrade, and I want to go to a laptop and a wireless router and DSL and all that kind of stuff, and I'm thinking about jumping ship and going over to Apple, and wondered if I could just get a little opinion on what the limitations might be and what your opinion is about Apple.
The limitation is that you'll be kicking yourself for not having done it sooner. That's the big problem with moving to a Mac, I have to say. You sit there and you think, how stupid was I for the last 10 years?
Well, it's getting used to a whole new OS. I mean, it's...
Yeah, the big limitation is it's the same thing we always say when people say, well, I'd love to try Linux, but I already know Windows. Things are going to be different. And you get over it. You know, you still know how to drive. You just don't know where the radio is.
You can get
in a
translation
car.
Dictionary that, you know, translates FAT to HFS.
Right, right, right. Right, but basically, you know, where are things in the menus? That's going to be your real biggest problem.
Okay.
And one of the biggest advantages is you don't get viruses. You don't have to worry about the spyware and the...
There are still viruses for Macs.
There are, well...
You want to be careful, but
There are viruses. There is a couple of Trojan horses.
Right, but you still want to be careful. The point is you can't just... Go commando out there on the
and
net.
And if you do share files with Windows users, you want to run an antivirus program anyway to stop Windows viruses from being carried.
I would say
the
only thing that he's got to worry about, though, is one, the applications that he's going to use for Mac versus the PC.
You got to buy them all over again.
And the other thing, though, is his also the environment that if he's doing it for work or anything else, the other people that he's going to be interfacing with, you know, if they use certain programs and you can't run it on a Mac, that's the only thing.
An advantage that Windows has is there are more small niche type programs available for Windows.
Right.
One of the things that...
And if your company has written a program specifically for your business, chances are unlikely that will run under the Mac.
Right. In the general categories, you know, there's 20 word processors for Windows and 5 for the Mac. And so... Of those 5, you're going to find a couple that work fine, and who cares if there's 20 others? But in general, you can easily switch to a Mac. Apple has some instructions on their website, apple.com/switch, on how to get your data from your old PC into your new Mac. Translating files back and forth is no problem, especially if you use Microsoft Office. The Office suite for Mac is a step ahead of the Windows version now until Microsoft comes out with their 2005 version. Right. They keep leapfrogging each other, so it can be a smooth transition.
Okay, our next caller, Bob from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
I'm working on XP operating system Service Pack 2 on an HP Pavilion. Which is with all those neat ports on the front panel.
Right.
And most of the ports work fine, except for the USB ports. If you stick a memory stick in there, it doesn't recognize it as a drive. If you go into the device manager, it insists that everything is working fine.
If you stick it onto the USB port in the back, does it work?
Haven't done that on this machine. If you stick it onto any of the other machines I have on the network, it works fine.
Well, the question is, does your system recognize it as anything?
Yeah.
Plugged into the front. I mean, does it acknowledge that there's something there?
No.
If you hook up,
it may well be that the USB ports in the front are not turned on
or plugged in. Normally,
or plugged in.
It's a cable that goes down the motherboard.
Right.
And, you know, like sometimes they can come loose.
Well, the easier thing to check is in the BIOS to see if there's a difference between front and back USB. If there is, make sure they're both turned on.
Yeah.
But then look to see whether or not that's plugged in.
Don't. Usually it's a plug-in issue. But the key thing I would say is if he's got another USB device, because normally with XP, you plug it into the front, it should sit there down the lower right-hand corner and say, oh, I found this new hardware.
Right.
And it's
defined. Well, it does.
Well, you just said it didn't.
And it says, do you want to turn it off? You know, stop it. But I can't get it in my computer, you know, on a little icon for my computer to show it as a drive. Yeah,
it, so it says there's something there.
It sounds the ding when you plug it in, mm-hmm. and it's down in the right-hand corner at the tray.
Yeah.
But you can't get a drive.
Even when you click on my computer, you don't see it?
That's correct.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Or as Bill Gates would say, isn't that special?
I would first try it on a USB port in the back and make sure it's not something in the hardware. And it almost sounds like something in the driver for the flash drive, but most of them don't have drivers.
Right.
It could be that it's USB 1.1 and the drive is 2.0 only. We got to take a break, Bob, but we'll think about this and... we'll come back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This season, answering your computer questions for over 15 years, it's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Bob, we were talking about your problem. And we were wondering, obviously you're gone, but we were wondering if you had upgraded from something to XP. That often causes a problem.
And the other thing I would suggest is also check his motherboard manufacturer, because if there's any updates to the USB ports and that, he might want to go to the particular manufacturer and see if there's any updates. Because I was telling you, we've got an old Pentium 3 machine.
Right.
And we just have trouble... getting USB 2 devices to be seen. It's just inconsistent as all get out.
Right. 1.1s or 1.0s, and depending on the age of the
pavilion. If your machine is rather old, it might be a 1.0 USB, and that will have trouble with 2.0 USB devices especially, but even 1.1 sometimes.
Yeah, they talk about being backward compatible, but it's
not always
accurate. Our next caller is Anthony from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Anthony. What's your question?
I have an old Packard Bell computer. It has a 266 processor in it, and they told me it has a bunch of viruses on it. I need to set it back to the original when I bought it. I need to know how do I need to do that.
Well, you don't need to do that.
Right.
Very rarely is that the first thing you should try.
That's an easy way of getting you off the phone, wiping out a machine, and getting you back to square one.
What they probably didn't tell you is that if you do that, you lose all the data you've got on that machine, all of it.
Yes.
So what you need to do is head on over to www.securitytango.com. That's all one word, Security Tango.
Assuming you can get a web browser to work.
Well, either there or on someone else's machine, and that person had best have a CD burner. Once you're there, down the left-hand side, you'll see a bunch of buttons. Click on the Let's Dance button.
Let's Dance?
Let's Dance, because you're going to dance the Security Tango. And from the very top, follow all of the, you might want to print that page out. Okay. Follow all those steps from top to bottom, one right after the other. Don't skip any. There's certain points at which you're told to download software. Again, if you can't get to the internet on your machine, your best bet is to go to a friend's house, download all that software, and burn it to CD and bring it back to your machine.
Okay. If you don't have any data on the computer you particularly care about, then it can be quicker and easier to just restore the machine. And generally you do that by putting in the restore disk that came with the computer and following the instructions there. You boot that restore disk and it takes you through the restore process.
Yeah, so any of your emails, though, any documents, anything else is gone.
Okay.
It totally wipes it out as though the day you got it out of the box.
Which they were pretty sure it was working then, which is why they tell you to do it.
Okay, again, the website was...
SecurityTango.com.
All right. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I mean, we're getting so much of that lately. I mean, in our shop, we've been folks bringing it in, and they're being told to wipe out the hard drive with the restore. And that's ridiculous. Oh, as a matter of fact, did you see Dell wound up pulling one of their ads? Dell had this ad on TV where the guy would be laying in bed and pick up the phone and go call.
Oh, yeah.
Well, notice that they pulled it because the guy was calling, and he was calling and speaking to an English-speaking guy.
Yeah.
Their support isn't here in the U.S.
No, it isn't.
So
I can't tell you the number of people who stop me and thank me for the Security Tango.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty amazing. It happens a lot. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come back on the other side of the news and talk about the poll and some very interesting things you should know if you download music. Back in just a little bit with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Rush. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites, and there's nothing like tradition. I promise you when we came back, we have some news for you people who download music. And we do. And that has to do with our poll of the week. Every week we have a poll on our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Last week's poll was, what browser do you use?
That was
I named about 10 of them. The winner, I'm delighted to say, was Firefox. By a 2%, by 2% or so, 2-3%, 2%, 2 percentage points, which makes it a mandate, a clear and complete mandate.
Well, what's interesting is you add up all the IE versus non-IE.
Right. Yeah. IE only had 37% of the vote. Firefox won, followed by Internet Explorer, then Mozilla, Netscape, Navigator, which really Firefox and Mozilla and Netscape are pretty much the same thing, followed by Safari. 4% for Safari, 2% for Opera, 2% for something else, 5 votes for Conqueror, which is for KDE, it's the KDE one. Anyway, that was our poll of the week. And it was we had 605 votes. I'm delighted to say that, making it just barely number 3, just squeaked. Number 2 is 615, so 605 of you voted. Thanks to each and every one of you. We love to see that. This week's poll is about Kazaa. The question is, it's a statement. I use Kazaa. The choices are yes, no, or stealing music is illegal. You insensitive clod. So far, we have 80 votes. 66% of you say no, 26% of you say stealing music is illegal, and 8% of you, 6 votes, say yes. Those 6 of you need to know a little something about Kazaa. According to Computer Associates, which is one of the largest computer organizations in the world, and they publish a product called Pest Patrol. That wasn't all that easy to say. They say that Kazaa is the number one spyware threat on the internet. It's a greater threat than other programs in the top 5 spyware list because of its widespread popularity. Kazaa claims that its software has been downloaded 214 million times. Kazaa, CA, Computer Associates, gave Kazaa a high clot factor. That's what they call how much a program slows a machine down by adding unnecessary registry entries and directories. Classifying a popular application like Kazaa as spyware is a delicate matter, and Computer Associates admits this creates difficulties. Kazaa does something useful, says Simon Perry, Vice President of Security Strategy for Computer Associates. I'm not going to say that it doesn't, but turn that around. You're allowing millions of strangers onto your machine. Interesting little question, an interesting little problem.
Yeah, for all your parents out there, take a look at your kid's computer. You'll probably find Kazaa, and that's probably the cause for all the problems you're having.
Yeah, unfortunately, it does. It adds massive numbers of entries into your registry, throws incredible numbers of directories onto your hard drive, and a lot of the slowdown you'll discover on your machine is simply because of, you'll find that it slows down considerably after you add Kazaa. It's just the way the world works. Kazaa is, however, sweetening the pot a little bit. They're about to add free internet-based phone calls in a software upgrade, actually, that went out this week. Charmin Networks Limited, the maker of Kazaa, has added Skype, which is a way to make free phone calls over the internet. So for those of you who are using Kazaa and don't mind it slowing your machine down to a crawl, Now you can make very slow phone calls over the internet. I think that's incredibly exciting.
Well, there are other legitimate and non-spyware sources of programs that let you make calls over the internet.
Right, exactly. Skype by itself will let you do that. Once you're done putting in your poll choice, please take a look at the little yellow box underneath the poll, and that can lead you to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com.
Hogwash.
Which may be hogwash, but is in fact my little slice of the web. And you can leave your opinion about the poll. And while you're there, feel free to look around at the other hogwash things that are going on that site. And for the person who was upset because there's both a no and they wanted to select both no and stealing is illegal, please try to understand two important things. It's just a poll.
But by saying stealing is illegal,
and
it's
that's
saying,
the second thing.
It's saying no.
If you think stealing is illegal, then the answer would by definition be no.
Yeah.
And if you think stealing is illegal and you still steal it, pick one. I don't really care. It's not really a scientific poll. It's called the poll, not the scientific poll.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. All right, got that off my chest. Thanks. Feel better now. On to Betsy from Perrington, New York.
Yeehaw.
Welcome, yeehaw. Welcome, Betsy. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I'm having a little problem with misconfig. Laptop running Windows 2000.
I think misconfig is the right way to pronounce it, too. Go ahead.
When I enter it, I get an error message, cannot find file or any of its components. It says make sure the path or file names
What operating system are you running?
2000.
It doesn't,
no, it doesn't have
laptop.
Right.
2000 doesn't have a msconfig.
Oh, it does not.
No.
Oh, that's the reason.
Yeah, that would do it.
Any other way I could get into the, find out what's in the start menu and get it out?
You got to go into the registry.
Which is dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay, I've done that, so.
Yeah, you got to.
There's three or four places in the registry where you'll find the run once and run now and run equals.
Yeah, if you do a search on run.
Mm-hmm.
In the registry.
Because it's basically under local machine, let's see. Local machine software, Microsoft Windows, current version, and then down underneath that you'll see run. And in there it shows all the things that are in the startup menu.
Oh, great.
So it's local machine, underneath that plus sign, it's software, underneath that it's Microsoft, then you got to go to the Windows folder, underneath that, current user, scroll down to where you see the run.
Okay.
And be very careful in there, because if you delete the wrong thing, you can make Windows not work at all.
Right. I have never deleted anything, but I have been in the registry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Looking around is okay.
Looking around.
Being a tourist is all right.
One other quick question. When I run SpyBot on another machine, Windows XP Home, it comes up with something with a plus sign, and I fix the problem. And when I rerun it, it keeps continuously coming. When
SpyBot?
I click on the... SpyBot. When I click on the little plus signs, it tells me registry change.
Is it
nothing
the DSO exploit?
DOS, right.
Yeah, that one always comes back, and it's very hard to get rid of.
And one of the other things that you got to do within SpyBot, and a lot of folks don't do this, is not only when you download the updates, there's a button there that says immunize.
Oh.
If you click on the immunize button, and then it goes to another screen, and there's a little green plus sign. You click on that, and it adds all the current known things to the list to future block those.
Okay.
So you got to, once you download and update it, then go to the immunize button, click on the little green plus sign to add it to the list, and it'll, add it, keep those also blocked.
Okay, and that might get rid of that DOS.
Yeah, try that.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. Yep.
Thank you, Betsy. Our next caller is Mike, calling all the way from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
How are you doing, guys?
Good. You?
Fine. I tried to get online, and my desktop is not coming up. Now, I was able to get online by going to Control Panel, by using the Control Alternate Delete to get to it, but my desktop is still not on.
What operating system are you running?
I'm running a Microsoft Windows XP Home Edition.
Home, okay. And you may have, we already had this problem very much like this already this morning.
Have you tried rebooting and hitting the F8 key?
Yes, I called Compaq, And that's what they told me to do. They told me to hit F4, F8, and F10.
Well, if you hit F8, that brings you up to a menu. One of the selections is last known good boot up.
See, that never came up when I tried to do it.
Well, you got to keep hitting F8 while the machine is booting.
It's a timing issue. It's after the machine finishes its memory count, but before the Windows logo starts coming out.
So you just got to keep tapping until you see
it. Okay, so like when it comes up, it says Microsoft XP, how long it's been there and all that. I don't touch F8 then. I wait to it before the welcome sign comes up and then touch it.
That's too late by the time
you see
the XP logo.
Yeah, that's too late. The minute the machine starts booting, you know, it's counting the memory.
What's
start
that?
Start hitting the F8 key.
Okay.
Turn the machine on, start hitting that F8 key, and keep hitting it until you see the menu.
And then one of your options is going to be last known good boot up.
Last known good boot up, okay.
All right, try that.
And that should let it work. One of the other options there is safe mode, which doesn't load a lot of the Windows drivers. And in safe mode, you can probably run some diagnostics if you can get the Security Tango programs downloaded, or even run the system file checker, because it sounds like something is corrupt in the Windows desktop program, which is Explorer.exe, something like that. Mm-hmm. Or you've got some spyware or viruses loading that's preventing the desktop from getting loaded.
Generally speaking, one of the last things that Windows does is go to the network. And so consequently, this is true also for Jim, if in fact you have some sort of spyware going on that's doing something in your machine, or a virus that's using your machine to send out spam, it may be sending it out so fast and so quickly that it freezes the rest of the machine. That nothing else can load, because nothing else gets any time on the machine, particularly if you've got 5, 6, 10, 30 of these things all sending out email. So that can also freeze the machine at that point. And it could be that you got so much stuff trying to do it that they all freeze each other out and nothing happens. So yeah, definitely bring it up in safe mode, which doesn't run the network, and see if you can then run that Security Tango like we were talking about earlier. You know, on somebody else's machine, download all the newest versions of the software and put it on a CD, and then bring that to your machine and see if you can run the Tango. Our next caller, Gary from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Two questions, if we have time for both. The first one is, somebody let the kids use their computer in the house. Is there a law against that? Friends came in and were trying to help my daughter speed up her machine. In the process, when you run Internet Explorer, you can no longer get on the Internet. However, we find that if you go to My Documents and type in the HTTP, you can get on. Well, in the process of trying to fix it, I went in and ran the setup for Windows 98 SE and told it to I unchecked the Internet connectivity, I think is the phrase, and ran it, and it said, okay, it was done. And then I went back to it again. I rechecked it, and it appeared to reinstall the Internet settings. Prior to this, I actually went to Firefox, downloaded it, and I was able to get on with Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, I really want to know why this is doing this. Well, I should have left it alone, because now I can't get on the Internet at all.
You're not even with Firefox?
Correct.
Okay, when you say friends were trying to help your daughter speed up her machine, what were they doing?
Deleting files.
Oh, yeah, see, that's bad.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Deleting is bad.
So
right.
they deleted something your computer needs.
What you might want to do is try reinstalling Windows 98 over 98.
Before that, try the system file checker. Go to start, run, type SFC, system file checker, and that will reinstall any Windows software that is corrupted. And
assuming you have a regular Windows CD that you can refer to, because it may need to load those.
Which I do.
Either a Windows CD or the cabs directory. If that works, then you win. Otherwise, the next step is to reinstall Windows over top of itself and see if it can reload whatever files are missing to let the Internet work. Now, are you running on dial-up or broadband?
Broadband.
So the basic connection setup in your network control panel is to have TCP/IP loaded. And if that's not loaded and set to automatic DHCP, then the Internet won't work, even though all the software is loaded and installed and functional.
Yeah.
So check those settings as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, we don't have time for your second question. We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and the website of the week. You're going to like this one on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on New.
I promised you when we came back we'd get to the website of the week. But I lied. Oh, no, wait. We do have a website of the week, Dave.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Everyone's right. Having trouble today.
Now, this week's is Shockwave. Shockwave.com. Since it's the holidays, and if you're not into, say, Xbox or those other cubes and everything else, and just like playing games and that, puzzles, strategies, and that type of stuff, definitely want to check out this website. They've got a one that, matter of fact, my wife and I just downloaded. It's Jewel 2.
Jewel 2. Not just Jewel.
Yep. And they've got some great packages there. Matter of fact, this one for, what was it, $40. Got three games.
Wow.
And a lot of them. One of them is great for our grandchildren. So, I mean, they've got a lot of great products out there that you can try out for a while and see if you like them before you buy them. But for the holidays, you know, it's fun to have some extra stuff that you can throw onto the machine and play games to pass the time. Check out that website because they got a good variety of stuff. Like I say, adventure games, puzzles, mysteries, you name it, it's there.
Excellent. So, sounds like a good good little website to go play on.
Yep. Yep, especially for the holidays. You know,
I like the Adam film section, fan films and public little mini films that people put together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How could you not be a fan of Adam films? It's pretty good. It's a pretty good site. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Dun, da, da, da. It's back to the phones on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM, and we are going to talk to John from Fairport, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Really good, thanks. Got a question for you. Running Windows 98, mm-hmm. and I updated everything yesterday. Updated my my Norton Internet Security, my Zone Alarm Pro had an update, updated my Pest Patrol, and updated my SpyBot. And I went to start the computer this morning, and it wouldn't load Norton Internet Security. And big red screen comes up, says, can't load Norton. So it says, restart your machine. So I restarted the machine, and the big red screen came up again. So I thought, well, maybe what I'll do is just delete Norton and then just reload it.
Sure.
So I tried doing that, and I went to the Add Remove Programs, and it said to remove I think there's a procedure that you go through, and I was mm-hmm. trying to follow the order that it was telling you.
Yeah, the manual remove instructions.
Right, but then it says that there's still something running in the background. It says Live Update Installer. It says we have determined you have some semantic applications registered with Live Update. You should not remove Live Update unless all semantic applications have been uninstalled first. And I've gone into the control panels, and I'm looking for anything that has to do with Norton or Semantic, and I can't see anything other than Live Update.
That's probably the one.
Okay.
But it's telling him he can't uninstall it because there's something else running.
It'll tell him not to
do it. It's right. Tell him to make sure first.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if that's the only one you got, then that's the only one you got. Let me suggest, however, that you go ahead and run Stinger to make sure that you don't have one of the viruses that shuts down Norton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's important.
We've seen a number of them get by Norton.
Yeah, it'll shut it down
McAfee
and
catches.
Prevent you from reinstalling a Norton or McAfee or any of the other antivirus programs.
Yeah, if you're lucky, it'll actually tell you it couldn't install it. If you're unlucky, it'll be one of the ones that lets you think you installed it and are safe.
Okay. Now, if I go to your website, with all the stuff that I've got on my machine, is there anything that maybe... I mean, do I have too much? I mean, is there a certain thing that you would just definitely recommend that I should have and call it a day?
No.
Well, you need all the pieces. You need the firewall. You need the pop-up blocker. You need the anti-spy program. And usually two of them, you know, SpyBot scans deep in the registry, AdAware,
goes
wide across the hard drive. And so you need all of these other programs running, unfortunately.
Okay. All right, I'll give it a try.
Go for it. Our next caller, Linda from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
I have an iPod that I downloaded a bunch of music on, maybe, I want to say about a year and a half, using Kazaa and Music Match.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I recently took my computer in and I had some additional hard drive space added. And in the process, all of my connections and my shortcuts were wiped out. So I know I need to, in my iPod connection as well, so I know I need to reboot the disk in, but I'm worried because of the way iPod works that when I connect it and I try to connect a music match, that I'm going to wipe all the music out of my iPod because it refreshes every time with the playlist that you have in there.
Right.
How do I go to Music Match and get the stuff that I already had in there before? I mean, is that possible, or
no.
Have I?
No, you can't do it with Music Match. The iPod software is specifically designed to only synchronize from the computer to the iPod. You cannot get songs back off the iPod normally. And part of that is a copy protection scheme so that you can't take your iPod to someone else's computer and give them all your music. There are third-party utilities that will allow you to see the files on your iPod in hard drive mode and copy those music files off manually. You can go to any of the download sites, you know, download.com, and search for iPod, and you'll find several of those different utilities. A lot of them are written for iTunes, which is Apple's music player. But some of them will also just let you see the files directly on the hard drive and copy the music manually.
Well, I did, as a precaution, back all of my music up onto some CDs in MP3 format, I believe. Well, I had someone do it for me. I don't really know how, but is there a way of loading that back into the computer and then being able to...
You should be able to just load those CDs back into Music Match as if they were brand new music CDs you've purchased. And then when you synchronize Music Match, it will erase all the songs on the iPod and resync to what you've just brought back in.
Okay, all right. So it is probably, if I got my son-in-law or something to help me with it, I could do that. And quite frankly, I didn't realize when I first started downloading music the legalities of it. So I stopped downloading from Kazaa about a year and a half ago and just started uploading CDs that I purchased. But I'd hate to lose the 400 songs that I...
Right.
Well, what, for lack of a better word, already stole.
What operating system are you running?
XP, you mean? Is that what you're
at? Yeah. You can also use Apple's iTunes software, which is much cleaner than Music Match and in many ways a lot easier to use than Music
Match. And also free.
And also free. The same sort of situation applies. It's designed to download from the computer to the iPod. And and in that case, the iPod iTunes utilities you'll find on the net will work with iTunes itself.
Okay,
but
that
iTunes won't wipe out her what's on her drive already, will it?
If it thinks it's a new music list, it will erase everything on the iPod and transfer from iTunes into the iPod.
Oh, that's bad.
Okay.
It will see what's on the iPod already and let you play those songs on your computer. But it will not copy them from the iPod into the computer.
All right.
You need a third-party program to do that.
Okay. I tried to buy a couple of songs to test it out off that buymusic.com or buy.com or something like that. And I didn't know if they were supposed to be downloaded to me or if I was supposed to get a CD in the mail. But whatever it is, it never showed up. So I kind of gave up on
purchasing. Most of the music services, they download to your computer directly, but you have to use their front-end software. iTunes has the iTunes Music Service built into it as well, and it downloads to your computer directly into an iTunes playlist.
Well, thank you so much. I'll definitely give this a try.
Thanks, Linda.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Our next... I can't record stuff on my iPod and then bring it back into my... Like if I bought the iTalk or whatever
that
is.
Yeah, that's the exception to the rule. There are third-party hardware devices, the Griffin iTalk and the Belkin iMic, there's so many iWhatevers.
iWhatever.
It turns your iPod into a digital... Yeah, it turns your iPod into a digital voice recorder. So it's basically a microphone you stick on top of your iPod. In that case, those files are stored as data files, and they will be synchronized up into the computer. But a music file that starts on your computer and is sent as music into the iPod can't normally be transferred back as music.
Oh, that's fair. But if I were to buy an iTalk
yeah.
and record my own stuff,
then that will synchronize up from the
back
iPod
to my computer to do whatever computer. I want
right.
to do.
One of the things we've been reading about the iTalk is it's a neat little device for personal digital recording, a little note taker. We've had several people buy it to try to like record classrooms.
Yeah.
And unless you have the microphone, you know, a few inches in front of the teacher's face, it doesn't work very well because it's not designed for a room, roomful. One nice thing about the Griffin product is it does have an external mic jack. So if you can get a microphone up on the teacher's desk, then you don't have to have the iPod up there as well.
But if you're, but for, okay, that's nice.
So it's a personal recorder. It isn't like a general room concert recorder.
Interesting. Our next caller is Joe from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Yeah, hi. Every time I go to Windows Update, at least for the last couple weeks, it has told me that I need one. The media player script command, and I'll go to download it, and it'll seem to download. And then next time I go in for an evaluation, it'll tell me that I need it again. And I'll go through the whole process again and nothing. It doesn't seem to install.
It probably tried to install once and didn't make it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you go to the add remove control, well, first thing you're going to have to find what that queue number is.
Yeah.
That,
but it should say that on the download screen.
It should say that on the download screen. You can go into the add remove control panel, and you'll probably see it listed there as something you can remove. You can try removing it and then re-downloading and reinstalling it. Before you actually reinstall it, you may also want to clear out your browser cache. Sometimes the browser cache can prevent downloads from coming in and working properly.
One other quick question. I also, when I go to go to a new website, I'll get this from SpyBot. It will say Avenue A incorporated a known threat, unquote. It says I've wished to download it, and they ask me, do I want to block it? I'll say, sure, I'll block it, but I'll keep getting it over and over again.
Because
you know anything about that?
It keeps trying to come in on every time you go to that website.
If I make a mistake and hit no once, am I doomed?
Semi. It'll let you download that thing, and that could be dangerous. But as long as you run the, as long as you dance the whole security tango quite regularly,
sure
you shouldn't have much of a problem with
it. And I think there's a setting in SpyBot, too, to just silently block and don't bother telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've tried the immunize, and hopefully it applies.
Right, but the message you're getting that's telling you that it's blocking something, there's also a preference in SpyBot somewhere so that it just blocks it and doesn't bother telling you.
Okay. Well, I'll try to find that.
Okie doke. Thanks a lot. Our next caller, Andrew from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Andrew. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I'm just curious. I'm running a Apple G5 laptop with a on System 10, obviously, and I haven't been able to find anything that is like a spyware or adware program to make sure that I'm not getting any of that. Is that necessary on System 10?
No, there aren't any spy programs, so there aren't any anti-spyware programs. There's a couple of companies that make cleaning software. Spring Cleaning is one of the big ones that will clean out your browser cache and clean out your temporary files and clean out application files you may not need. It tends to be a little overly zealous and asking you what you want to delete. And if you knew that, you could do it yourself in the first place. So I find them of little value. But as far as an anti-spyware program, there really isn't any. There are a couple of disaster recovery programs that might be considered spyware. One is called Last Resort that records every keystroke you make into the computer, which basically means that if your computer crashes, it can retype the document for you. But that would have to be something that would have to be manually installed on your computer and you would see it running for it to be considered actually spyware.
Wow. Okay, so all that stuff that people are constantly calling and complaining and crying about with PCs, those spyware issues are not relevant with a Mac.
Right.
They don't exist much on the Mac or on Linux, just on Windows.
Wow. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next caller is Greg from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Greg. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Question in Internet Explorer.
Yeah?
Sometimes I'm at a site and I click, it looks like a link or so, I'll go to the next page, and I'll get the circle with the line through it.
Yeah?
Which more or less says I can't go to that.
There's one of a couple of things that could cause that. One is that the site itself has a problem, and the other is that it's trying to send you to some spyware site that something you're running has blocked.
It could also be trying to launch a Java program that you don't have the right JavaScript for.
Or some other plugin.
You can try clearing your browser cache and see if that fixes the problem. Sometimes programs get stuck in your cache and prevent
Do you have Zone Alarm or anything like that going?
Yes, I do.
You might want to check Zone Alarm to see if you've maybe blocked out that site on the list.
Okay, I know this was even in this morning, like at Amazon.com, and I wanted to go to, I think, maybe like a picture of an appliance that I was looking for, and it came through with a zero or a circle with a line through it.
Isn't there in Zone Alarm also pop-up ad blocking?
Does that circle the line through it actually show up in the browser window? Or
it shows up right on the screen and then goes away. And I stay right where I was.
That's something
way different that I've never seen before. Have you danced the security tango?
No, I have not.
You better. It sounds like you've got something on your system that's not right. I would suggest you start right away. Get to securitytango.com and definitely dance that tango. Because I've never seen that before.
Spybot, the whole menu.
Our next caller, Ed, calling in on a cell phone. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Hi, how are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Good, thank you. I have a woman that works for me that is operating with an HP Pavilion laptop, and she's got XP on it. When she's on the internet for 8 to 10 minutes in that area, there's a signal that comes through that says mandatory or priority shutdown by MSN, and she hasn't been able to clear this. Have you ever heard of anything that would cause that to shut down?
What antivirus software is she running?
Yeah,
Norton, I think.
Yeah, virus or spyware. It could also be that the battery is failing and can't hold the charge for much longer than that.
New battery, and this happens when she's plugged into the wall, too.
It sounds like MSN is detecting a virus on her system.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I have to stress, dance the security tango,
and that should
solve the problem.
I mean, we constantly get folks coming in that say, well, yeah, I've got Norton on there. Is it up to date? Well, it scans every week.
Yeah, it's different.
It's like, no, scanning is one thing. You got to verify that the data files are up to date. It's got to be no older than 7 days. If it's older than 7 days, you're not protected.
All right, we are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. It's time for football, and we'll be back here next Sunday at 11 a.m. with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, only on 1180 WHAM. So divine.